Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. Those of you that are subscribers, thank you so much. We appreciate you supporting us and allowing us to try to dig up the truth each week and share it with you so you can educate others about what's going on. Those of you that watch on all the different platforms, thank you so much for doing that. We'd also like you to consider going to agendaweekly.com, where you can get all the rest of the resources we provide each week. A news brief of all the key news items of the week. We have prayer and action items, and then articles and videos that help you understand the times and then be able to share that information with others. But thank you so much for joining me again this week. Today, I have a special guest on that I know you all are familiar with. It's Trevor Loudon, a good friend of mine. He's an author, a filmmaker, a New Zealander who saw America was crumbling and started studying decades ago what's going on in America. If America goes down, we're all going down. And so he has been doing that now, like I said, for so long that he is a wealth of knowledge. And the particular thing we're going to talk about today, I know will be important to you all. We're going to talk about enemies within the church. Most of you that if you've been going to church the last 20, 30, 40 years, you've seen the changes. You've seen it just keep slowly changing more and more and more. Well, there's purposefulness behind that, like there usually is. But Trevor, thank you so much for coming on today.
Like always, a pleasure, Curtis. Great to catch up.
Thank you. Well, why don't you just start us off, kind of give us an overview. I know you've been studying the last couple of years and researching specifically on the church for your new movie, Enemies Within the Church. So kind of give us maybe an overview to start with of what you found about what's going on in the church today.
Well, this is a long history. You know, the first communist front in America was the Methodist Committee for Social Action, which started in 1912, before the Bolshevik Revolution. So what you had right from the very start, see, the American Republic was founded on the premise that man's rights come from God, not from the government. And that offended every dictator, every socialist, every Marxist, every tyrant on the planet. So America had enemies right from the start. But with the communist revolution in 1917, the communists decided to, if they had want to have worldwide communism, they had to take down America. They couldn't do that from the outside. So the most important institution in America is the church, more important than the government. So they deliberately started infiltrating the churches in the 1930s. They took over the mainstream evangelical churches. They started to infiltrate the Catholic Church in the 1930s. And now in the last 10 to 15 years, they've been infiltrating the evangelicals and even the Southern Baptists. And the whole purpose is to use Christianity to move America into socialism. There's no spiritual purpose here. It's to use the money, the influence, and the respectability of the churches to bring socialism to America through the back door. And we're seeing that in every church in America almost now. The woke church movement is the latest iteration of the socialist infiltration of the churches.
That's right. No, it's such a clever way. I know that, I believe it was Stalin that once said, what makes our movement so legitimate is most of the people pushing the communist cause are not communist. And yeah, that's what they're doing with the church too. They realize if we can get the church to be doing our deeds for us, no one will accuse us of doing that because, hey, that's the church. That's not us. They're always so clever, strategic, deceptive in what they do, aren't they?
Well, that's right. And, you know, they took over the seminaries and the Bible colleges pretty early on. So if you could take over those strategic places, you can turn out tens of thousands of young, woke, left-wing pastors who think they're doing God's work, but they're doing the opposite. So the communist movement has used, you know, it can only work deceptively, because nobody is going to be a communist if they tell you actually what they intend to do. They always cloak it. You know, you see thousands of people, millions of people go to church every Sunday and they hear about social justice. They hear about the sin of white racism and white privilege and critical race theory. They hear about refugee resettlement. They hear about welcoming refugees across the southern border, migrants across the southern border. All of it is communist. All of it is communist programs. But millions of American Christians think they're out there promoting these programs, doing God's work, when they're not. They're doing Russia and China and Tehran and Havana's work. They're doing the devil's work, effectively.
No, it's amazing. I've, Trevor, obviously been in America my whole life. And since the 70s and 80s and 90s, I was in the evangelical church and just saw each decade they take a few more steps in compromising values or standards or just changing the way they did things. It was something that was so clear you could see. But back then I was like, why is this happening? Everyone just kind of thought, well, things just change over time. But of course, as you dig in and as you've dug in, you see, no, it's purposeful. It's an enemy, and they must stop their enemy from standing against them. So even some of those things you talk about, social justice and critical race theory, and talk about some of those movements for a minute and kind of the Marxist roots of those, so people can understand that, no, those are indeed, those were never Christian movements. Those were never about upholding biblical truth.
Yeah, well, justice, biblical justice needs no qualifier. Justice is justice. But social justice is basically redistribution of wealth. The rich must give up what they have to give to the poor. That's Marxism. That's straight out Marxism. Critical race theory is the idea that America is intrinsically racist, that white people are intrinsically racist. You can be on food stamps, a white young white person on food stamps, and you're oppressing the black football player who earns $40 million a year. But you are part of the white Christian capitalist patriarchy. You're part of the power structure. See, the old communist method was, the working class would rise up and destroy the capitalist. The 99% would rise up and destroy the 1%. That was the Occupy Wall Street. That was a class-based communist movement. But it didn't really transform America. It had a bit of an impact, but not too much. But race is always with you. So under the influence of James Cohn and Derek Bell and others, they've come up with this idea that now the new revolution will be by using the oppressed peoples of color, black, brown, Asian, Native American. You use them, they're the new working class, and they will rise up and take the wealth and the power from the white Christian capitalist patriarchy. So you got sexism in there, you got the class struggle in there, you got race. It's all intersectional, as they say. But it's a revolutionary movement to destroy the basis of America. You know, the free market system, Christianity, the traditional family, all of it must be destroyed. And you see Black Lives Matter, which is a Chinese communist operation, always talking about how they want to end the family, how they want to end the patriarchy, they want to end white privilege. Well, this is all Marxism applied to race. But you have thousands of churches buying into this stuff. Thousands of churches supporting Black Lives Matter, a Chinese communist operation designed to burn cities all over America. And you got churches supporting this stuff. So, yeah, even the Southern Baptists, who were once one of the most, Bible-believing traditional Christian Protestant denominations, the largest Protestant denomination in the country, very politically conservative, under the likes of Russell Moore and Al Mohler and J.D. Greer, have now adopted critical race theory as part of the church toolbox. They've adopted straight up Marxism. And millions of Baptists think this is a bit strange, but well, it must be okay because it's coming from the top. Let's just get on board with this. It is pure revolutionary Marxism disguised with a few Christian words on top as Christianity.
That's right. And it's kind of disheartening to see how easy the church is falling. And again, from being in the church my entire life, I think it's because the majority of Christians in America are biblically illiterate. They don't know what the Bible says. They don't know where we came from as the church and where we're supposed to be going and what we're really supposed to be doing here on this earth. And the Marxists knew that back in the 30s when they started penetrating all the seminaries and everything. They knew if we use Christian terminology, these people will believe us. And it really has turned out that way. Before we go deeper into the evangelical church, for a minute, go into just what has happened to the Catholic Church and the current Pope and some of his ties and connections as he cries for world government. Just talk about that for some of our listeners that are Catholic.
Well, you know, the church, the communists always had a problem with the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church was militantly anti-communist. And so, and the Catholic Church thought it was safe from infiltration because they thought, what communist is going to take a lifelong vow of celibacy to become a Catholic priest? Because you have to become a Catholic priest, a bishop or a cardinal to have true political influence in the Catholic Church. Well, Ballard Dodd, the famous teachers union official from New York in the 30s, a Communist Party member who went back to her Catholic faith, talked in Congress about how she'd helped to infiltrate 1,100 young communists into the Catholic Church. And it seems that many of these people were homosexual, so they didn't really have a problem with this vow of celibacy. And that has led to the horrible problems that the Catholic Church has today, the left-wing stuff and the homosexual stuff. So it was a double whammy. Now, the Pope himself was very active on the Argentine left. He boasted about how he used to hide Communist Party literature from the authorities, how he couldn't wait for the Communist Party newspaper to be delivered to his office every week. The man was open about his Marxist sympathies. And, you know, and basically, he's imbued with liberation theology, and that was introduced by the KGB, Soviet KGB, into Latin America in 1957 at a meeting in Venezuela. And liberation theology was basically Marxism with a Catholic veneer. You know, heaven is not above. Heaven is on earth when we get socialism. So they indoctrinated thousands of priests in these doctrines, many of them who joined the Communist Revolutionary Movement. And Pope Francis is really riding the crest of that wave. He's like the surfer riding the wave of liberation theology. And now he's the Pope, and he's stacking the College of Cardinals, the organization that will choose the next Pope, with people just like him. So that when Pope Francis dies or retires or whatever he does, the next pope will be just as bad, if not worse. So that's what Catholics have to look forward to. And you know, I don't know how it's going to be saved. I don't know if there's going to be a split in the church or whatever. But the Pope is a Marxist. There's no question about that. And he is working with Islam. He's promoting world government. He's promoting redistribution of wealth. He's promoting open borders, all of the things that you would expect a communist to promote, because that is what he is.
No, that's amazing. And talk to you about one other thing he's done recently in China to show how he is not about the Bible, or tell him what's going on in China.
So you have a long-standing Catholic church in China, and it's always had problems with the communist Chinese authorities. You know, because if you're a Catholic, you cannot be owing allegiance to communist authorities. You owe allegiance to the church. And so what the Pope has done to so-called save the church in China, he has put the Catholic Church in China under the authority of the Communist Party. He's told the Catholics of China they must pay allegiance to the Communist Party. He's basically sold out his church, and he will sell out every other church around the country too, to the civil authorities, to the socialist authorities, as it suits, because he is primarily a communist rather than a Catholic. But that should be shocking every Christian, every Catholic around the world, that a Pope has sold out the people of the Catholics of China to the Communist Party.
Yeah, no, that I just saw that going on. I'm of course not a Catholic, but I saw when he put the church under the Communist Party. I go, boy, the people that are Catholics need to wake up to what's going on. And so now going more into the evangelical church, I think most of the people listening probably attend an evangelical church and have been in those churches most of their life. And they've seen the change too. Tell me some stories about some of the things you've seen happen. I know you were down in Florida. I was with you there. And one of the big Southern Baptist churches had some different things going on. Talk about that and then how you see this unfolding coast to coast as you've studied this with some different examples.
Well, look, we're doing a movie right now, Enemies Within the Church. And if you go to our website, enemieswithinthechurch.com, you'll see a short side project we did about 30 minutes long on the First Baptist Church of Naples. Now, there's a very big conservative Baptist church in Naples, Florida, very conservative political area there. And a couple of years ago, their pastor retired, and they wanted to choose a new one. And so the Southern Baptists sent them this guy. He was a black guy. And said he would be a perfect candidate for your church. So he gets up and starts talking about all the social justice stuff, all this critical race theory stuff. And a few people in the church, the more woke ones in real terms, really woke, think, well, this isn't really a fit for our church. This guy is a leftist. We are not leftists. So when the vote came, and the Baptists have to vote 85% to confirm, I believe, he only got 81 or 82 or 83% of the vote. So he didn't get the job. So the Southern Baptists came down on that church like a ton of bricks. You are a racist church. The only reason you rejected this man because you are racist. And they created such a ruction in that church that most of the founders of the church were expelled from their own church. And now it is a woke church, because they got another pastor and another woke pastor from the Southern Baptists, not the black guy originally, but now they're a woke church. One of the largest churches in South Florida is now going full-on woke leftist communist. And these people who started the church are cast out of their own, of something they created. But this is happening all over the country. Now that And there's some respected names behind this. You know, a lot of people would know names like Tim Keller, for instance. He's a well-known Christian. He's written a lot of books, et cetera, some bestsellers. But he has a Marxist background, and he set up the Gospel Coalition in 2005, basically to bring socialism into conservative Christianity, into the evangelical movement. And, you know, for instance, he's got on his board Mark Dever from Nine Marks, who promotes actual Marxist authors who write books about the communists, who've written books about the communists thwarting Reagan in Latin America and things like this. He is writing these books on, he is promoting these books on critical race theory. They've also got another guy there, Tabili, who's one of their top guys. He used to be a Marxist. Then he became a black Muslim. Then he became a Christian. But he still talks exactly as he did when he was a pro-Cuban pro-Soviet Marxist. So the Gospel Coalition is spreading critical race theory. It is spreading social justice disguised as Christianity into the evangelical churches. See, in the old days when the communists tried to infiltrate the mainstream churches, they would go 90% Marxism with 10% Christianity on top, and it would drive a lot of people out of the church. Well, now they're much more subtle. People like Tim Keller, it's 90% Christianity with 10% Marxism on top. Same with Rick Warren out in California and his big churches out there. A former used to hang around with SDS, Students for a Democratic Society, a communist group, now leading one of the big so-called conservative evangelical churches in Southern California that basically preaches critical race theory and immigration, amnesty, and Chrislam. And now you've also got groups like InterVarsity and Campus Crusade for Christ, as they call it now. I'm sure many of the people who are listening now went through Campus Crusade for Christ when it was a very respectable Christian organization. Now it's completely woke. You listen to some of their seminars, they say God at the start, there's 90 minutes of Marxism, then they say Jesus at the end, and that's your lecture, that's your seminar, that's your webinar. It is completely imbued with this stuff. And now that our movie's coming out, Campus Crusade for Christ, or CRU, has hired a public relations consultant to deal with the fallout that will ensue when we expose these people. They're already losing a lot of donors, as they should. But this is the kind of thing that's going on in the evangelical movement right now.
Yeah, no, it's transitioning so fast, it's hard to keep up with the new things they're doing. And it's just devastating, because once the church loses its ability to be the salt and the light, to expel the darkness, our whole country's in trouble. Whether you go to church or not, it doesn't matter. The church is a blessing to everyone. Its very existence kind of helps keep the fabric of a culture together. What are maybe some other...
Absolutely. Look, for 2,000 years, the church was the leader of every community in the Western world. You might not have gone to church. You might have been an abject sinner, but you still looked at the church for moral leadership. You knew that was where the good stuff was. That was where the Ten Commandments came from. That's where your morality came from. Well, under the influence of Marxism, that's almost gone. And so we're seeing the families being destroyed. We're seeing the civil government fall into chaos. So, you look at from a communist point of view, you took over the mainstream Protestant churches. You've got huge influence in the Catholic Church. You own Hollywood. You own the Democratic Party. You own media. You own most of the academia. You own almost all of the institutions of the American society. You own them. And you're on the cusp of revolution. And then these crazy evangelicals come out and vote for Ronald Reagan or Donald Trump and set you back 15, 20 years. Well, don't you think they'd want to put a stop to that? Don't you think they'd want to drive a nail into the, drive the nail in the coffin by taking over the evangelicals as well? And that was the last domino to fall, really. That was very hard to crack. The Southern Baptists and the evangelicals, they're faithful people. They're politically conservative because they understand the consequences of believing in the Bible. If you actually understand the Bible, you'll be a political conservative. Personal responsibility, is integral to that. So they are destroying that now. And so, Andrew Breitbart used to say that politics is downstream from culture. Your culture shapes your politics. But he could have added that your culture is downstream from your religion. Your religion shapes your culture. Your culture shapes your politics. So if your politics has gone to hell in a handbasket and your culture is in the sewer, what is that telling you about the churches?
That's right.
And their state.
No, and that's what I saw, just starting in the 70s and then really accelerated in the 80s in America, is the church all of a sudden was trying to follow the world instead of setting the standards itself, instead of being the one that dictated, this is a healthy culture and here's the institutions we need to respect. It started to go, oh no, what is the world doing? What, how can we get more people from the world in here? And so they started trying to attract people that weren't even interested in church at the expense of losing the people that were Christians. They were born again and they wanted to follow the Lord. And so I just noticed the preaching. I've traveled a lot my whole life and get to be in churches all over, and how the preaching just started changing more and more each decade that went by to just this meaningless feel good nothingness that anyone would just feel fine listening to, but not have learned something or understood the condition of man.
You know, they're going for volume rather than quality, aren't they?
Yeah.
Now let's dumb down the message. We'll get more people in the church. That'll pay our mortgage. Because we've got a massive church we've got big social programs to fund. So it's really about getting backsides on seats. It's not about spiritual development or really nourishing people spiritually. It's about filling the pews. So they dumb down the message as far as they can. They get imbued with the culture. You ask the people listening, when's the last time you went to a sermon where you were sweating through most of it, where you were cringing and thinking, he's talking about me. Now it's all just come along to church, listen to some rock music, have a latte, put some money in the collection basket, say you love Jesus, you walk out, sin all week, and do it again the next week. That's really what a lot of American Christianity has devolved into. And Christianity has always been, should have been the, it's always been, it should be about the very few who are willing to make the commitment necessary to be good Christians. And that's a big commitment. You know, for the first 1,000 years of Christianity, it was just about a death sentence to be a Christian. You know, and especially if you belong to the wrong denomination, when the local when the invading army was of a different denomination. It was pretty tough, but now most American Christians have lived a very comfortable life. Their teaching is very, very shallow. Their commitment is very, very shallow, and it is easily rocked, and they're easily subverted by people who have ill intent.
That's right. No, and it's what you said there, Trevor, is so key. People, that's what happens. See, when the pastors stop preaching the truth in a hard, clear way, then the people that are really saved aren't getting fed, so they don't grow at all. And then when you invite a lot of lost people in to just sit there, so there's more money in the plates, there's a bigger churches, then you're grouping people together that are actually probably a bad influence on each other because they don't believe the same things. They aren't focused on the Great Commission and in spreading the gospel and living in such a way when people see you, they realize you're different. Why are you different? And you can tell them why you're different. And so we've lost. That's why the church looks so pathetic to the world anymore, and it's not very attractive. You'll see, and it's already happening, even the Southern Baptists playing this little game of let's get as many people as we can, their numbers will still keep dropping. They will, because people aren't interested in just the feel-good stuff for very long, maybe for a short period of time. But their numbers, as we already see, they're losing all their young people. And so that will start dying off too, just like the mainline denominations. Their populations on Sunday are nothing like they were 100 years ago.
Well, that's right. And why did the evangelical churches grow? When the mainstream Protestant churches were on the wane, the evangelical movement grew, the Southern Baptists grew, because they were firm in their faith. They were unembarrassed to say the truth. They were very bold about it. And so people flocked to that. You know, they loved that. But now as these churches go woke, as these churches water down the message, they're going to fall away too. They're going to, they're really, you know, most of these churches are really social clubs, you know. And if you want to go to a social club, there's plenty of other social clubs you can go to that probably don't cost as much money. And, you know, you can have a good time, you know. But so the church is largely lost in America now. There's the growth of the home church movement, which is taking up the slack, you know, and that's growing, which is good. But the mainstream churches are in trouble, and that includes the Baptists, Southern Baptists, and most of the evangelicals. Of course, there's great pastors out there. Of course, there are still good churches out there. But we're talking about the broad scope of the thousands of American churches. The church is in trouble, and I think most church people would acknowledge that.
Yes, and you can see the tentacles continuing to try to get into every church possible. So, Trevor, what should people be looking for? What obviously, one thing I will tell you should be doing is if you're in one of these churches, you have to get out of there. Once you realize they're not interested in you trying to turn them back to the truth, you can't reward them by sitting there each week and by tithing to that church. You have to go somewhere else and find a preacher that is preaching God's word and reward him for doing what's right. Help that church to grow, to be a light in that community. But Trevor, what should they look for and signs and things to know it's time to get out of here if they start to see that the thing has been corrupted?
Well, say, look, if you can save your church, try and save it. But if it's got to the stage, it's probably not salvageable. And don't get this idea, well, look, the pastor married my children. We've been in this church for 35 years. We have all the friends here. Well, that's great. That's a social club. You know, that's, we all, you know, that's, but it's not a church. Why listen to a webinar? Why listen to a program like this on a Wednesday night and go to a communist church on Sunday? You think it's going to do you a lot of good spiritually? So people got to look at their, be looking at their own salvation here. They're going to be looking at truth. If you're hearing about social justice, big red flag. If you're hearing about the sin of racism, massive red flag. That's not even mentioned in the Bible. You know, the race is very easy to cure racism. Do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. That's it. That's it. That's the end of the story. If you're hearing about welcoming refugees from over, you know, over the border, you know, forget about, you know, the Old Testament. How many times did the Israelites build a wall around their town to save them? The Old Testament is a national security blueprint. You got to be able to secure your town, your city, your country. That's your first allegiance. You got to have law that people follow. When you have that, then you can talk about love. You can talk about the other stuff. So if they're talking social justice, if they're talking critical race theory, white racism, get out of there. Because they won't be talking the Old Testament. They won't be talking about sin or redemption or any of the traditional stuff. You'll be getting a watered down left wing version of the Bible. If they're not talking the Old Testament, that's a big red flag. They're not talking, the masculine side of the church, Jesus coming in and overturning the tables in the temple, you know. If they're talking this wimpy, wet, watered down, love everybody no matter what they do version of the gospel, and it's not even a version of the gospel, if they're doing that, you're not actually in a church. You're in a left-wing social club. So get the heck out of there and find somewhere where you're actually going to learn something and be held to account occasionally. Because we all drift off. We all need to be held to account. That's the value of going to a church, that you are held to account by other members of the church. They will call you out for your error. You know, they will, if you're not getting any of that, you're not in a church. In a social club and a left-wing one at that.
That's right. And we can't do that because we are in a battle, a spiritual battle for our country, for freedom in the world, for loving our neighbor. And we can't not be willing to sacrifice at some level. And people go, it's a big sacrifice. That's okay. Do it anyway. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you will see the great price that has been paid. People that were willing to stand for the truth, even when they were going to have to die to do that. We need to get back to that because that's the best way to love our neighbors, when we stand for the truth, because then they see, hey, you've got something. When you're willing to have something cost you so much to follow, I think you've got something there. But
Look, if you have complete faith, you will have unlimited courage, won't you? If you have faith, you will have courage. If you lack courage, what is that telling you about your faith?
That's right. That's right. Because God will not allow you to go through anything that he hasn't planned for you to go through, which means he will make you capable of going through it, even when ahead of time it seems like, oh, I won't be able to do that. Well, you will be able to do that when the time comes, because then he will give you the grace and to be able to handle whatever it might be. But I encourage you, as one of the action items this week, if you haven't ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it documents all of the martyrs in the Christian church from Jesus's time up into the 1500s. And it was so encouraging to me, but it was also sobering and humbling, of going, I'm worried about someone calling me a name or something, and these people would stand and be burned alive and in no way go against any biblical principle. And I'm like, wow, they're like, burn me. I don't care. I will not say what you're saying because it's not true. And so anyway, it's encouraging because we come from a great stock of sweet people that did have faith in God, were willing to stand for the truth regardless of the cost, because they knew God had a plan in everything. You will not suffer ever without God doing something with that suffering in a big way. He would never waste someone's suffering because he loves us, but he has a purpose in all that he allows us to do. Trevor, I appreciate you and all you're doing. Tell people right now ways of getting a hold of you to purchase things you've done in the past. And then, of course, Enemies Within the Church. I'll put those websites up. That'll be done pretty soon here in the next month or so. But what's other things they can do to help support you in what you're doing?
Yeah, well, thanks, Curtis. My website, my daily blog, is trevorloudon.com. Loudon is Loudon, trevorloudon.com. But don't try and Google that, because Google won't bring it up. Put that in the search bar at the top of your page, you know. Then it will come. Then you will find it. And you can buy my movies there, Enemies Within. I have several books that I've written about contemporary politics and the Marxist takeover of the Democratic Party and Joe Biden's communist past and, you know, Barack Obama and all these figures. We're in a communist revolution now, not just in the church, but in the secular sphere as well. So, yeah, trevorloudon.com and obviously, you know, enemieswithinthechurch.com as well for more information about the church movie.
Yes, and once those are done, I will let all of you know and encourage you to go get 10 copies to share in your circle of influence. I've got Trevor's books and videos right back on my shelf here. They're great tools to help you see the big picture. And then the more you see the big picture, you're able to wake others up and to keep rallying the troops on our side, to keep standing for the truth. And we need to be willing to do that. But Trevor, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Well, always a pleasure, Curtis. Sorry about the visuals, but it was always great to catch up with you, and I really commend what you're doing there, because there's not many beacons of light out there for people. So thanks for doing what you do, sir.
You're welcome, Trevor. And everybody else, again, consider going to agendaweekly.com and subscribing if you haven't, but don't lose the faith. Keep standing for what is right. And make sure you are in a good Bible-believing church where that pastor is speaking Genesis to Revelations. And until next week, God bless you.